Good morning, everybody. Let's pray. May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God. Amen. Well, today takes me back 15 years. It reminds me of something that happened 15 years ago when we were leaving West Ryde. Here's a photo of our family. Let me go back there. As you can see, our three children have grown old, got bigger. And as you can see, Marge looks the same and I've grown so much older. Let me just put a photo up of the comparison to today. On my last Sunday at West Ryde, it was in September 2004, and I preached my last sermon before I moved to Mittagong. And I can still remember the opening illustration. And it has to do with a man and his hobbies. And it was just nice that Rochelle sort of tied in the theme of hobby today. Let me show you the man. And let me show you his name. He was a visiting lecturer at Morling College, where I was doing a master's subject, an intensive week of lectures. And with the name like that, guess where he came from? America. And Speed Lees, his actual field of knowledge was in congregations and their systems and in conflict resolution. And Speed told us about his unusual hobby. It was related to his work. He said his hobby was collecting, in manuscript form or recorded form, the last sermon that a minister gave in a parish. A very unusual, sort of almost unique hobby. He said it was interesting, as sometimes it was an opportunity for a minister to just get everything off their chest and be disruptive and divisive. So as a joke in 2004, I said to the people at West Ryde, sit back, strap yourself in, and here goes! But I resisted the temptation in 2004, and 15 years later in 2019, I'm going to resist that temptation again. Let me tell you, I was tempted. Anyway, it just so happens that the passage I chose for today, I chose quite a while before we decided to move. And I didn't plan for this to be the last sermon that I would preach on at Mittagong Anglican Church as a senior minister. We commenced our series on Colossians 9 weeks ago, it's 10 weeks series, at the beginning of October. And then as I worked out, this was being last Sunday, I thought, what an appropriate, God's sovereign, this is just a great passage to finish on. I'm going to suggest it's relevant in terms of today's situation in these three ways. I think we can draw up these points of application. The first is, it's about us. We can draw out what we do with us leaving, and we want to ask you, just like Paul asked the Colossians, to pray for our ministry as we go to Denham Court. And I'll tell you a bit more about that during the talk. And also, it's about, I think, that what we've tried to do in the 15 years of ministry here at Mittagong. And also, thirdly, about the future of the ministry here at Mittagong. Well, the passage divides into two parts. The first part is point number two. So it's really helpful if you've got this in front of you. You've got the passage and you also got the outline. Speaking to God about people, verses 2-4. Do you notice it says, as we heard before, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. What a great thing to do. I found this lovely picture on the internet. Can't you see the devotion of that lady up on the screen, being devoted to prayer? And Paul's saying to the Colossians, devote yourself to prayer. And I want to say to us all today, let's be devoted to prayer, because it's so important. Remember in chapter 1, if you've been here in our Colossians series, verse 9, Paul has told the Colossians, you'll see the verse up on the screen, how he constantly prays for them. This is in spite of the fact that he's never met them. He's in Rome and he's writing to Colossae. But he says, I've heard about you from Epaphras, who was one of my disciples in Ephesus, and he founded the church. And I pray for you because I've heard about your faith in Jesus. Then he says, Epaphras, in chapter 4, in a few verses after this, we'll look at this next week, you will look at it next week. Epaphras, he gives this vivid world picture. Epaphras is wrestling in prayer for you. Isn't it a great picture? And he is wrestling in prayer for the Colossians. Paul says the Colossians should be watchful and thankful as they devote themselves to prayer. They're to be watchful in the sense of being prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're to have a thankful attitude towards God as they appreciate more fully God's magnificent grace in sending Jesus to die for our sins. In verse 3, he says, pray for the spread of the gospel, and pray especially for me as I preach the gospel. Effective evangelism begins with persevering prayer. Over the past 15 years here at Mittagong, we've had days of prayer. We've had weekly prayer meetings. We've had specific prayer meetings for evangelistic outreach and specific programs. We had prayer meetings about building of this building back in 2005 and 2006. We just have had lots of prayer. But let me tell you, it's hard because the devil delights in putting up obstacles that hinder prayer. Our current Friday prayer meeting at 9 a.m. is going well. Let me share with you something I did sneakily on Friday. While the rest of people were praying, I took out my camera and my phone and took a photo. And I couldn't get everybody because I was just sort of sitting. But there were 16 people there. And it's just a delight to be able to pray with these guys. I want to encourage you to devote yourselves to prayer. Another thing that I've been doing the last few years is meeting with two guys who are here today. And we meet together regularly and we pray. Pray for the ministry of this church. Form a prayer triplet. Pray with two other people. I know there's lots of them in this church. Just want to encourage more of them. Devote yourselves to prayer. And Paul longs to see people hear and respond to the gospel. In verse 3, as I said, he asks people to pray for his ministry. He asks them to pray with the specific purpose of God opening doors for the gospel message. He prays that he'll be used by God to reveal the truth of Jesus. Do you notice it says about, I'll proclaim the mystery of Christ? The mystery is that Jesus is not just for the Jewish people. That was to the audience at the time. Jesus is for everyone. His death and resurrection are relevant for everyone. And Paul prays that he will have doors open so he can proclaim this great news. He prays that he'll be used by God to reveal the truth. Jesus is the Saviour. Everyone who believes in him as their Lord and Saviour is assured of a glorious future in heaven. And Paul asks the Colossians to pray. He'll proclaim it clearly. Just as Paul asks the Colossians to pray for him, can I ask you to pray for myself, for Marge and Lucy, as we move to a new church at Denham Court? Let me say that leaving Mittagong Anglican is very hard for us. We've developed many good relationships over the years that we highly value. It's an emotional time for myself and my family. We've been privileged to share in significant moments in people's lives. We're just rejoiced when people have made first-time commitments to Jesus. We've given praise to God when we've seen people come back to a personal, active relationship with Jesus after a long time away. It's been just so encouraging to see people grow in their faith. There have been joys such as weddings, baptisms, and other celebrations. Now, there's been difficulties, there's been trials, there's been suffering, there's been death. Rejoicing that Christians are in heaven, but it's tough. And there's been some complex pastoral issues. But I give praise to God for the opportunity to minister amongst you over the past 15 years. I also give praise to God for the wonderful partner in ministry that God has so graciously given me, my wonderful wife, Marge. She has an important independent ministry lecturing at Mary Andrews College. But at the same time as she does this, she's very active in our church, including preaching, leading services, leading Bible study groups, training people. She started Walk Through Bethlehem and was heavily involved in coordinating the first six of them. To help proclaim Christ, Marge started and coordinated Kids at Mac and the Creative Arts Ministry teams. And amongst other things, she also led the Women's Ministry team. Well, today is special because it's our last day here, but it's also special because something happened 29 years ago. We got married. On the 15th of December 1990, and apart from Marge and myself, the only person there that's here today is my mother. And you will have your... Don't we look so much younger? Well, I do especially. We'll move on. You will have your opportunity to show your appreciation to Marge and our three children later today at the official farewell. I feel very blessed by God to have such a supportive family who've been so actively involved in our church. Many of our years at Mittagong have been happy and productive, but they're coming to an end. Although this makes it sad, it's good to remember the sovereignty of God. We were not planning or expecting to make this move, but God moved in an unexpected way to open up this opportunity. We go back to our passage. You notice Paul says in verse 3, he's in chains for the gospel. He's a prisoner. And yet his focus is not on his own situation. His focus is on the spread of the gospel around the world. Over our 15 years at Mittagong, we've tried to encourage a worldwide mission focus through the promotion of interest in missionary work around the world, and especially through our Link missionaries. In Paul's day, there was a great need for people to hear the gospel. And let me tell you today, friends, it's an even greater need, as much. Just as Paul asked for prayer for his ministry, can I ask you to pray for our continued ministry at Denham Court? To practically assist you, I'm going to show you a bit of a slideshow with some pictures. So, Tim, we're going to turn all the lights off, the spotlights as well, and so you can just see them better. Firstly, here's the photo we sent to Denham Court. There's Marge and Lucy and myself and Lucy's dog, and we're moving to Denham Court. So let me just take you through some of the pictures. Here's the picture of the church. Now, where is Denham Court, you might ask? Well, let me tell you. Here's Campbelltown. I think most people know Campbelltown. Here's Liverpool. Denham Court's about halfway between, just off the M5. Let me show you the church. It's even older than this church. It goes back to 1838. Here's a picture of it. And the landed gentry at the time in Denham Court built this chapel. It's not very big. Inside seats about 60 people. A few years ago, they built a new hall. And here's a photo inside the new hall. Seats about 100. Here's a photo of the rectory they built in the 1990s. They had an old one, but fortunately it burnt down. We've got a new one now. Well, apparently it was very nice, but very old too. Built in the 1990s. Here's a picture at the back. Now, I am going to have a study with a wonderful outlook. You can see here's the house and looking across the graves. Sort of remind me what I'm all about, trying to encourage people to be saved. Saved from eternal damnation. Okay, here we go. Now, we actually have to live on a 5-acre block. Oh. But Denham Court's all about acreage. In fact, it's an oasis in the Makata area of wealthy people living on big blocks. So here's actually the house next to us, has a tennis court and swimming pool. We're going to have to get to know them, aren't we? Here's another small house on Denham Court. Now, we've been told, unfortunately, Denham Court's got about 2,000 people, but six of them come to our church. So hardly any locals. The people that come are sort of in the wider MacArthur area. So it's a mission field. But let me tell you about the areas around Denham Court, because that's where the opportunity is, apart from the rich people on the acreage. So We want them to come so they can build up the church. Anyway, Denham Court. To the east is a place called Bardia. It used to be called North Ingleburn. And then there's Edmondson Park and Denham Park. Let me show you on a satellite map the difference. You can see there's Denham Court. That's sort of the suburb acreage. Now you see Bardia. Look at it, all the new housing. Edmondson Park, all the new housing. And then Denham Park, all the new housing. There are great opportunities. Let me just show you some pictures. If you go to the west, you go to Denham Park, and there's some of the new housing has already been built, but much of it is yet to be built. You can see some of the places there, and an aerial view. It's just wide open for people to come in. Also, you can see some of it's quite well established, but a lot of it's just in the process of being built. If you go to the east, to go to Bardia, you see again lots of places that are just about to be built. Here's a photo I took. This road's not open yet, and all these roads are built, but no houses there yet. Also, you can see there's the local school. This is about 5 minutes from the church. Some of these houses have been built, but there's still lots more across this side that haven't been built yet. Also, there's a place called Edmondson Park. This is in southwest in Sydney. And somebody came up with a brilliant idea to create New York-style living, as well as... So there's 9 levels apartments. But they need the gospel, don't they? It's right next to the new railway station, which will eventually go to the second airport. In Edmondson Park... We could turn the lights back on, thanks, Tim. In Edmondson Park, there's a House of Islam. There's actually lots of Muslim people there. What a great opportunity. Right about less than a kilometre from the church is a huge Jehovah's Witness complex where they print stuff for Jehovah's Witnesses all around the Asia Pacific. The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Denham Court hasn't grown, but churches around it have. Leppington and Oran Park, to the west and the southwest of Denham Court, are big, thriving churches now. There is a great opportunity for something to happen at Denham Court. So there's a challenge and an opportunity. But from a practical point of view, it may seem strange to move from this medium-sized church of over 300 to a small church of less than 50. And one of the young guys introduced himself the other day. He said, "I'm one of the youngest members." He's 71. It's not really something to laugh about, is it? Something to cry about, really. Anyway. Yet, as I've been reflecting on this, I remember two men who in the past made similar moves. Both of them were like me towards the end of their ministry careers. First is well known, probably heard of him, the second maybe not so. The first is Dudley Ford. He was a very well-known Sydney Anglican minister who just died recently and went to be with the Lord a few years ago. He started off and built a huge church at Kingsford. Then he went to more colleges as a lecturer. He helped to found Katoomba Men's Convention. And then he went to St Ives Church and he built the biggest Anglican church in Sydney at St Ives in the 70s and 80s. He was then appointed to be a bishop in South Africa. He went over to South Africa, came back to Sydney, and went and served in a little church at South Liverpool. I remember hearing him speak about it. He described it as the hardest ministry of his career, but also very rewarding and important. Another minister I knew was Kelvin Tutt. He was a senior minister at Balgowlah in Sydney, which was a good-sized church near Manly. I had friends in the church, so occasionally I visited this church. He left this well-resourced church to move to do church planting in southwest Sydney. And he too, like Dudley, is now with the Lord. But both of them, at the end of very fruitful ministry careers, went to small churches. They did this because they recognised the need and strategic opportunities for ministry in a rapidly growing area. And they were in ministry to the north of Denham Court, and now around Denham Court all the farmland is now becoming housing. We too have been challenged to follow their examples and do the same. And like Paul asked the Colossians, I encourage you to pray for our ministry as we move. In verse 4, Paul says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. In my preaching and teaching over the past 15 years, I have aimed to communicate clearly. My aim is always to be faithful to the text, but also to be creative in the way I present the message. I've tried to enhance the hearing of God's word. I remember someone saying to me, and I've never forgotten this, it's a sin to bore people with the gospel. So I ask that you'll pray that I will proclaim the gospel clearly and creatively as we move to Denham Court. I also pray, and I'll be praying for you guys in the future here at Mittagong Anglican, that the preachers will always proclaim the gospel clearly and creatively and faithfully. Well, let's move on to the second paragraph. This is about speaking to people about God, verses 5 and 6. In chapter 1, verse 28, you might remember, Paul states that Jesus is the one he proclaims or preaches about. He teaches and admonishes and actively proclaims Jesus. This is the public face of his ministry. In formal settings, just like I'm in a formal setting today, Paul boldly challenges people about their response to Jesus. We saw in verse 4, he asks a prayer that he might proclaim the message clearly. Let me tell you, it's been a privilege and an honour to stand up here for 15 years and open God's word to you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for keep on coming back. I really appreciate it. But do you notice he's talked about in verses sort of 2 to 4 about the public proclamation. Now he moves to the responsive individual proclamation of the gospel. He's distinguishing these two types of activities. Public preaching always has a rightful place. But in our personal desire to communicate God's word, we've got to make sure we don't communicate in the same way as somebody preaches. When we talk to people, it's a dialogue. We've got to listen as much as we talk. Paul gives instructions about personal evangelism in these verses. In our personal conversations with people, there's a danger of turning people off if we're too preachy. Paul says we are to live wisely and our lives should match our beliefs. We're to live a Christ-saturated, God-glorifying life. Hypocrisy turns people off the message. We're to live and talk normally. But we are to take opportunities to talk about Jesus. It's good to pray for opportunities. It's good to be looking out for them. It's good to be part of the local community. Over the years, I've tried to personally develop contacts with the local community. When our children were at Mittagong Primary School, it was good to go to school events and talk to other local parents. I got conscripted onto the Friday morning sausage sizzle, and about once a month, it was on every week, I would go and cook sausages for all the kids and some of the parents. I got to know kids and parents there. I served on the school council. I was able to develop friendships with people, and as opportunities arose, talk to people about Jesus. I was a member of the Mittagong Chamber of Commerce for many years, until it got sort of consumed by the Southern Highlands one. It got all amalgamated. In association with this group, we did the Mittagong Carols by the Lake a number of times. We also, in this hall, we used to meet every month. In December, we would come and meet here, and the wonderful MU would provide a lovely Christmas dinner. And it created so much goodwill towards the church and opportunities to talk about Jesus. I regularly opened the Whinger Caribbee Council meetings with prayer, got to know some of the members quite well over the years. I helped to change the Anzac Day morning tea so that it would become more focused on reaching out. In these and other local communities, I tried to point people towards Jesus. Paul says, as we interact with people outside the church, our conversation should be what? It should be gracious. We're not to turn people off by our manner. Our conversation also should be seasoned with salt, which means it should have a bit of zing to it. We're to present Jesus in a way that entices interest. Should never be dull or insipid when talking about our Lord and Saviour. We're to learn how to answer people's objections about the Christian faith. We can learn how to be more effective in sharing our faith through learning, through sermons and group and personal Bible study. Do you know, over the years, I have initiated many, many changes in an effort to increase and develop the effectiveness of the ministries of the church. I want to say thank you to all those who have supported me in making these changes. There was one thing the church was doing that didn't change. I thought about it, but I didn't think I could improve upon it. This was our vision statement, which is formulated before my time. It's on the Mac update every week, and it's this: knowing Christ, growing in Christ, and showing Christ to the world. As we've seen over the last few weeks, the book of Colossians is all about these three activities. The three vital ingredients of the Christian life. Can I leave you by challenging you about these three statements? Firstly, knowing Christ. For the last time, can I say to you, make sure you're in an active, personal relationship with Jesus. I'm not finishing up to Friday. You've still time to come, make a time to come and see me if you want to. But there's plenty of other people you can talk to in the church about this. Secondly, growing in Christ. Intentionally growing in your relationship with the Lord Jesus. Making church a priority every week. Being part of a Bible study group where you're learning and sharing with each other. Reading your Bible regularly. Keep growing in Christ. Make these things priorities in your lives. And thirdly, showing Christ to the world. Continue to take opportunities to talk about Jesus. And actively support missionary work around the world. Well, I hope you'll agree with me that today's passage has been very appropriate for the occasion. What I've tried to do today is to show from the passage how relevant it is to what's happening in our church life. I want to encourage you to pray for our ministry at Denham Court, a great opportunity. I've reflected a little bit on what we've done in our 15 years here at ministry. And I've tried to give you some guidance about continuing to work in this great church. So what I thought I'd do is pray about all these matters now. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, thanks for the privilege of being the senior minister at Mittagong for the past 15 years. Thank you for the opportunity to preach, to teach, to encourage and have fellowship with so many people, interact in their lives. Father, I pray that you would help the people here to pray about our future ministry at Denham Court as we go to this place of great opportunity for growth. Help people to pray regularly for us. And Father, I pray for this church here. May it continue to be a place where you work through the people. Help it to be a place where people come to know you as their Lord and Saviour. Help people to grow in their relationship with your Son, Jesus. Help people to come to church regularly and make it a priority. Help people to be in Bible study groups. Help people to grow as they read your word. And Father, may it always be a place that shows Christ to the world.